I have nothing clever for this.
I don't think it deserves anything clever.
And now, our feature presentation.
All right, and welcome back, Roadies. Once again, I am John Rhodes, and with me, as always,
Saeed.
Yeah, I'm not doing anything clever, just like an opening, because we are here to discuss 2014's first entry into the MonsterVerse, Godzilla.
So we'll be covering these leading up to Godzilla X Kong, the New Empire.
Yeah, completely changing things up for ourselves, because we usually backload it, but today we decided to front load because there's nothing.
Just like fucking nothing in the movie theaters.
Right.
The only thing we even considered was Madame Web, because it seemed so bad it was almost funny.
But you know, that's okay, because we get to cover some bad movies anyway, because we're talking MonsterVerse. And let me not even, like, pull my cards close to my chest. There's not going to be any question. I want to say this up front. Fuck this movie.
Oh my god, this movie is horrible.
I hate this movie. Like, I hate this movie. I will never watch this again.
I remember leaving the theater the first time I saw it so fucking angry, because there's so little Godzilla, and it was just so boring. I felt like I had wasted my money and my time at the movie theater. And it's been almost 10 years since that. So I thought, oh, okay. Maybe I'll feel different. Maybe I was too harsh. And, you know, I don't think I was. It's a real chore.
Well, I had a similar experience. I went and saw it. And like you, I left upset. I think mine was more disappointment because the film is called Godzilla. And Godzilla has 11 minutes more screen time than I do in the movie. You know, that's where I think a lot of my disappointment came from. Watching it this time, this is just a mess of a movie.
It's weird because in rewatching it, I know a little more of the behind-the-scenes stuff going on this time, and I see there was a potential of a movie there, but this is such a fucking studio movie through and through. Like, they got a guy who kind of knew visual effects and had done a monster movie. I put heavy quotes around that before.
I was going to say, you better put some fucking
heavy
quotes,
on before. But enough to qualify for this job. But it just, it's a nothing movie.
Well, I don't necessarily think it's a studio movie, because in watching it, I think the reason it is such a mess is because there was two different visions for this. Like, I think the studio just wanted a big, dumb monster movie, and they hired this indie dude who's all about human drama to craft it. So he wants to tell this story that is like the disaster monsters cause on our lives and the impact it has on us and everything. Mm-hmm. And then the studio gets this, and they're like, what the fuck is this? And that you end up with this moronic mashup as they're trying just to turn it into a big dumb monster movie. And either way, it's not what anyone wants.
So the reason I say it's a studio film is because the almost entire film's budget is built on tax breaks and special free props and funding from the U.S. military. The reason this movie focuses so much on a soldier and all the squads and how they're going to handle it and all this is because they got all that shit for free for making the military look good. There was a deal between the studio and the U.S. military, and it's part of Gareth Edwards is the director. His biggest complaint was he was forced to do all of this. He didn't want to do such a heavy focus on military. It was supposed to be more of like the human drama, but they're like, hey, if we're doing the military shit anyways, we're going to go all the way and get a bunch of free shit, so we don't got to put much into this movie. So this movie is essentially a tax break studio film. I mean, it's a movie that like, all right, we got a name. People will buy tickets to see the name. We'll get all this free shit. This is almost like free money.
I get that. Yeah, okay.
That's my biggest complaint of the movie, because it's the most boring shit in the whole fucking film.
Well, here's another thing that gets me. Aaron Taylor Johnson. I don't know the character's name.
Oh, it's like something Brody.
Sure.
Last name's Brody. I know that. Right? I'm pretty sure.
Ford.
What did I get? Oh, that's his name. His first name. Yeah.
Ford Brody. Yeah, because it was supposed to be like Jaws. That's why they're called Brody.
Gotcha.
Yeah. I don't even compare the two, because Jaws is actually a fantastic film, and this is a piece of shit.
It's, you know, it's kind of weird watching this and having Aaron Taylor Johnson lead, because I've seen so many movies with him in it lately where he's great. He's a fantastic actor, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So to watch him just kind of slug his way through this is a shame.
That's one of the things about this. Everyone sucks, except, like, the only two I thought were believable or even gave a fuck was Elizabeth Olsen and Bryan Cranston. The rest of them fucking are terrible.
So, another reason I was so fucking angry at this movie when it first came out is they sold this movie on Bryan Cranston. Hot off of Breaking Bad fame, because the show just ended and wrapped up, they got Bryan Cranston, put him all over all the commercials and ads for him to die 15 minutes into the movie. And he's easily the most interesting character.
Yeah.
You have your conspiracy theorist with a grudge, and he's out for answers, and this is your way into the monster world and the secret society of Monarch and all this shit, just for them to, like, kill him and go, hey, now follow this military marine kid who doesn't really know what's going on.
Yeah, this nothing character. But, okay, here's another thing about Ford. He is set up as an explosives expert who disarms bombs. That's his whole thing. That is, like, what his character is set up to do. What is the one fucking thing he fails to do in this film?
Doesn't fucking disarm a single bomb.
No, he fails in the end to disarm the nuke that's going to go off in San Francisco. He fails at the one task he is clearly set up to do. How do you do that as a screenwriter? How do you set this up that this is his arc? This is who he is. This is, you know, this is the only character trait besides loving his family and hating his father that we have.
Mm-hmm.
And then he fails at it.
It's a waste of time, because it's like, why even bother? You could just say, because he uses at one point to get into the special mission at the end, just say, hey, I'm a Marine, I'm a soldier, I'm whatever, lieutenant, I'm a higher ranking. I need to get to San Francisco because my family's there. I will help out in any way I can. Fine, whatever. We're already believing a giant fucking lizard. Who gives a fuck about that little nitpick? But you have to give him this special job that they hype up this whole time.
He's the only one that can do it.
And then he doesn't.
Yeah, because he's Navy EOD. And then because these guys that are with the nuke who brought it don't know how to do that. You know, the team that was just like, oh yeah, this is our nuke, doesn't know how to fucking.
What did they plan on doing? They just like, all right, we'll just drop it here and hope it steps on it, I guess. Like, hope for the best.
But that's not even, like, the worst of it. Because I was watching it, and they're like, oh, they're attracted to nuclear, blah, blah, blah. We're going to use this in San Francisco and detonate it. It's bait. And then they put it on a fucking train and are shocked when the monsters come to it. It's just like, you're using it as bait. They're not in San Francisco. And of course they're coming. Do you not understand how bait works?
I don't understand why it had to be on a train.
No.
Like, why did you not airlift it? Like, sure, you could worry about your planes going down, I guess, but don't put it inside the plane. They carry it by some fucking tethers or something. Like, I just don't understand most of the movie, I guess. It just doesn't make any fucking sense.
Okay. Here's something that I thought I would never say. I'm going to reference a John Woo film to prove how stupid this is. Yeah, I know. So, even if it was in a plane, and they were worried about the EMPs, which they sporadically forget about in this film, if a nuke goes down, it will not detonate unless it's armed.
Right.
So you just have your team sitting in the back, ready to arm it when it's in San Francisco. And in a John Woo movie, that's the entire plot. Is that a plane with nukes goes down, but it didn't go off because they weren't armed.
Mm-hmm.
Is it bad that a John Travolta, Christian Slater, John Woo movie has better sense in it than this?
The whole movie feels like half-assed to me. Like, it feels like everybody's like, oh, this is a Godzilla movie, so, like, whatever. Like, all the way from the acting. Like, besides Bryan Cranston.
There's Oscar winners in this.
Yeah, it's a fucking shame, because this movie could be so much more. Really, they had a phenomenal cast. They had all this potential. Could have worked a better script out, but they act like they're like, oh, it's a fucking Godzilla movie. Why do I gotta bother? Like, it's a fucking paycheck.
I think that's how most of them viewed it, and I don't get it, because it's a big budget. there was a push behind it. And yes, I mean, Bryan Cranston had 15, 20 minutes of screen time, and that was probably all the more they could afford him for was that week. But still, I mean, come on, guys.
Well, it's an extra shame because this movie had so much hype behind it because it came out on the back of Pacific Rim the year before.
Mm-hmm.
And Pacific Rim shattered everything. It was, like, beloved. It was a box office success. Like, they even teased Godzilla at the end credits for some reason. Just played the Godzilla music right at the end.
Oh, I forgot all about that. I don't know. Like, none of this makes sense. And here's the mind-boggling thing to me. Well, besides so much of the script, this makes Roland Emmerich's flawed one look like a fucking masterpiece. Now, I defended it because it's just a dumb monster movie and it's kind of fun. This doesn't even have fun to it. Like, none. Every chance you're just like, oh man, this is going to be... Oh, no, no. We cut away.
I think this one is a different kind of bad. It's not bad in the same way 98th was, because 98th was bad, but at least 98th wasn't boring. Like, you're watching it and you're like, this is really bad. Like, almost laughably bad. This one is just boring bad. Like, I just wanted to go to sleep the whole time. I was like, I don't care about this. I could turn it off and I could go fucking clip my nails or do something else. Anything would be more fun than this.
Dude, had it not been for this, I would have turned it off. I would have never finished this.
So, I have a feeling I'm going to be on this kind of complaint about it being a chore and all this for a few more of these movies. I've come to the understanding that we should never, ever cover Fast and Furious. Ever.
No.
This is my, like, oh, this is how Fast and Furious would go. No thanks.
Like, I had not seen this since theaters.
Right.
So I had that little glimmer of hope. It's like, maybe I was too rough on it. Maybe I was just disappointed that Godzilla, you know, wasn't in it that much. Because I remember I've seen Gareth Edwards' Monsters. And it's like, you know, that wasn't a bad film.
Mm-hmm.
No, this is a terrible film.
Yeah, this is pretty rough.
And, you know, we bitch about Godzilla having 10 minutes of screen time, or 11, whatever it is. The worst thing is that he has almost no presence in this film. Like, it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm. Godzilla could not exist in this movie. It could just be about the Mudos, and it'd be the same film.
Yeah.
Nothing would change.
Yeah. Like, let's say the next film we're going to cover, Kong Skull Island. Do you realize Kong only has, like, 15 minutes of screen time in that?
But it's utilized properly.
He has a consistent presence throughout that film.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing, is, like, you see split seconds of Godzilla, mostly his foot or some stupid shit like that, but he has no presence in this besides Ken Watanabe being like, he is the one! And it's like, where are you getting this? Why?
Well, did you... I don't remember seeing, this time watching it, the Ken Watanabe let them fight scene.
It's there.
Is it?
Yeah.
Because I was watching, I was like, did I just fucking miss it, or... is it, like, not here?
Your brain kind of powered off at that moment from stupidity.
I'm sure it powered off long before that.
But, yeah, no, it's there. Let them fight.
You mentioned that the Godzilla, you see his foot, or you see, like, him start to go to attack him, doors close. Like, I don't know why this movie is so scared to properly show you Godzilla, too. They're clever about cutting away and not showing you him. And, sure, the foot thing at first... whatever. It could be interesting as, like, oh, here's the true scale, because that's massive. You're in an airport, and all you can see is a foot. That's insane. But they do it the rest of the movie. And yeah. Anytime you do see Godzilla, he's either completely shrouded in, like, darkness or smog or smoke or from the destruction, or it's, like, night, so you just don't see him. And I know in theaters it was a bit brighter, and they had a translation issue from theater to home release, where for some reason it was way darker, and apparently it's supposed to be fixed this year in the new 4K release, but that's 10 years. That's a 10-year gap. You can't not fix that problem for 10 years. And that's digital, too. Do you know how easy it would be to just fix it, port it properly in digital? That's how I watched it, digital. It's still a fucking mess. The visual effects in this are okay.
I didn't have a problem.
Not good, but it's not bad. I
honestly did not have a problem with them this time. That is something we will be talking about later in this series.
Okay.
But I'm fine with them, mostly because the effects are used sparingly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
because yeah, Godzilla's not in the movie.
Not until, like, the last 10 minutes of the movie that you actually get to see all of Godzilla. Mm-hmm. And, like, I usually do a little research on these, well, usually quite a bit on the movies. Even the ones I just watch in my spare time, I enjoy it. I did not give a fuck, but in the very little bit I did, Garth Edwards was so proud of, like, how he used this. It's, like, the reason they're called Brody is it's like Jaws. You're just gonna get little bits of it, and it's just like, no, this is Godzilla. This is why people are coming. No one gives a shit about Ford Brody, mm-hmm. Bryan Cranston, any of these people. These people are just cannon fodder. We're here for the title character, Godzilla. Don't show him in the last 10 fucking minutes and be proud of that.
Yeah, I feel like if he's saying that, he doesn't understand what he saw in Jaws, because Jaws wasn't supposed to be like you barely see the shark up until the end. That was mechanical error and editing around what they could.
Right.
That was supposed to be a creature feature.
Well, also, the difference is that works in a horror film where you're constantly teasing the dread, the scare, the thing that's going to get you, whereas this is setting up Godzilla as, like, a guardian. That is like a Superman movie where you just see his foot, the fluttering cape, and then the last 10 minutes he's there. Can you imagine how fucking stupid that would be?
I mean, that sounds like most of the recent DC movies. Like, do you remember Shazam showed everything but his head? And then I think in other movies they did do, like, I think the Peacemaker series, they did the same thing where they hid a lot of them.
Yeah, but imagine if it was called Superman, Shazam was in it for 10 minutes, and then that's all the more you got of Superman.
Yeah, that's fair.
I mean, this is ridiculous. The title character that is being treated as a hero, as a savior, you're teasing as, like, the horrific monster that's going to doom us all.
Mm-hmm.
You do not understand what you're making, Garth Edwards.
I agree. So what would you rate this?
One. Because, and the only fucking reason I give it one is because Bryan Cranston and Elizabeth Olsen are good, and it looks good. Past that, this movie is a complete and utter piece of shit that I will never view again.
I gave it a 2, just because Bryan Cranston was phenomenal, and some of the action sequences towards the end, like the Halo drop, fucking, that's a great shot, it's a great scene, and then it goes nowhere. But there are these moments throughout the film that are like, oh, that's pretty good. Maybe I was too harsh. And then they do stupid shit right after.
I was so fucking angry by the time we were getting the good, cool shots and stuff like that. I did not give a fuck. I would have turned the film off at that point. Before any of that started, I would have turned it off.
That's fair. I never intend to watch this again.
No. Fuck this movie.
All right. We'll be back next week with Kong Skull Island.
You've arrived at your destination.